Welcome to New Realities. My name is Alan Steinfeld, and this program is about the exploration of who we are becoming as a human civilization. And that includes all the spiritual possibilities and other reality possibilities that we have in potential. And tonight's guest is going to be talking about the huge range of human potential and beyond. Her name is Susan Kornacki, and she'll be on a panel that I'm calling ET Contact and the Evolution of Consciousness. That's this coming Thursday, July 26th, at the Meta Center. That's 214 West 29th Street in New York City. If you have any more questions, check out the Meta Center NY website or my website, newrealities.com. Thanks, Susan, for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, well, I've been interested in what you've been tracking in your own research and in your own consciousness, because you seem to be coming from very much the same place that I'm coming from, is the sense that consciousness is something that's beyond us, beyond the human civilization. It kind of connects all living things in the universe. Would you say something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. All living things and also things that, you know, might not fully have a body as well. So some of those etheric energies as well.
Right. And I was really interested in your orientation, because you said you're one of the few people who have not forgotten where they came from and the whole experience. Can you talk about that? Like, where were you before this life, and then the experience of the womb, and then who you are now? I mean, not the whole thing, but
you know. Yeah, well, I've learned to be able to communicate the Reader's Digest version of it versus going through the entire thing. Yeah, so the story that I tell is I never feel like I've had what I call like this break in consciousness. I remember being an energy body before being in a physical body, and actually remember being connected with another being in energy form, and also being connected to a group of what I would call golden beings. These were very shiny, luminescent, golden beings, and I was connected with these beings somehow. I'm not sure, you know, even as I've tried to, you know, really view into this space and place, I still am not exactly sure who they are. I mean, I have a general idea in terms of the function and the role that they play, in terms of, you know, who they specifically are. I'm not sure. So I remember literally leaving this group and being incredibly euphoric and enthusiastic as I jumped into the abyss. And literally went down what felt like, you know, what I would now call maybe like a black hole or, this vortex of energy. And I was incredibly excited to go, and actually said to, this other being, which felt like somebody in, let's say, male form, let's go and come find me. And, as I remember literally moving through time and space, through this portal or through this tunnel, the next thing that I felt was, as I was coming into what I could now see as the Earth's atmosphere, I could start to actually feel more of the density, and I could actually feel the energy of the Earth at that point. And I know this might sound a little weird, and I've never really said this before, and remember hearing a lot of music. So I have a love and a flair for the 70s music. So I was born in 1971. But this music is still so strongly, like, you know, immersed in my being. And as I was coming in, I remember hearing these instructions. Your job is to understand how they live on this planet. And that was my instructions. The next visual that I have, I am actually up in the corner of my parents, what I now know as my parents' bedroom, and I remember being an energy form. So I remember the cellular structure of the energy body not being completely cohesive, being a bit what felt like blob-like. And then my next memory is actually being in my mother's womb, probably around 7 months, I felt about 7 months old in her womb, whatever that size is how I'm calculating that to be. And then the next thought was, oh my gosh, I was born here to this place. And there was really a sense of loathing at that point because the density felt so thick. And then apparently I must have had some humor because I started laughing and thinking, all right, well, how am I going to get, my space? How am I going to get my space from these people? Because I'm the youngest of five. So, my household, growing up was a bit chaotic because, you know, having three older brothers and an older sister, was not really, a space that you could have a lot of quiet time. So at 7 months old in utero, I was actually wondering how I was going to get some quiet time. So there's a little bit of that story. So I came into this world with this and, you know, got very confused, obviously, when I have an Irish Catholic grandmother at the time who would talk about, purgatory and who would talk about death. And it was really confusing to me because, you know, in my mind, it was that, no, everything's eternal. What do you mean purgatory? Well, what is that? So, you know, things were pretty confusing, from the world around me. But what I would have to say is, keeping that level of consciousness intact and never losing that, it allowed me to really understand what was real and true. I mean, so many times growing up, you know, being a young person in elementary school, junior high school, and then high school, you know, the world tries to take you in many, many other different directions. And, you know, there was times I might have floated in other directions. Still, you know, deep inside that core understanding of what is eternal and what is really real beyond the physical and beyond the veil was always there. And, you know, as hard as it was to hold it at times, I'm also incredibly grateful for it.
Wow. No, it sounds sort of familiar to some of my memories of not ever really forgetting who I was. I mean, I don't remember the beings or anything like that, but I always had a sense of my own consciousness was somehow outside this human dimension. And I think I've always had that. And so that's why I've pursued, spiritual, you know, families, because I wanted to identify and be with people who understood that, because most of the world really doesn't understand that level of awareness because they're so caught up in the world. But are you in touch with these golden beings that sent you here?
Am I in touch with the golden beings that sent me here? You know, I feel like they're always around. I feel like, you know, they're on their mission too. I mean, what I can tell you about them is this. And by the way, let me preface something. You know, I was talking with a very close personal friend of mine before communicating with you today, and I thought, you know, geez, I'm not the type of person that professes these truths, right? Like in terms of what it is that I see or that I pick up. The best thing that I can do is just communicate my experience and from standpoint that I've witnessed it and that I see it. Doesn't mean that, you know, this is everybody's universal truth. It's just simply mine.
Oh yeah, I totally get that. This is your truth. It's your experience and no one can argue with your experience. And that's all I expect is for you to, you know, to communicate what happened to you, and it might not be anybody else's truth, but it also might plant a seed in people's minds about what could be their truth.
Yeah, exactly. And thank you for that. And I usually just preface that. I think so many times in, you know, the spiritual community or, you know, when people are talking with this sense sometimes of, one person's truth or what one person picks up in channeling or what one person picks up in, you know, in their psychic understandings, you know, starts to become everyone's. And, I know that that's been something that has been a turnoff to me, which is sometimes why I've maybe hidden a little bit from, you know, doing maybe more interviews and, you know, kind of putting myself out there. So, you know, so when I say this, I say it from simply my truth and thank you for understanding that.
I totally get, I mean, I just want to say that it's, in a way, that's why I do this program, because there is no absolute truth and there's nothing that's right for everybody. So I try to do this to give people an overview of what is possible from as many different perspectives as possible. So yes, okay. So please,
great.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. So these golden beings, I mean, I have such incredible reverence for them. What I saw before I decided to leave and literally incarnate into this earth plane was these beings would work in pods of about, between like 7 and 9, and they would get their, it looked like they would get their direction from source energy. And when I say source energy, what I'm, seeing is, what I would call source. People call it God. People call it, you know, the infinite, all being, you know, all the many, many names for it. But they would get their direction from this. And just by simply tuning in and knowing what needed to be done. And these beings were incredibly strong. They're incredibly filled with wisdom. And they would operate on what I would call like one group mind, but they would also split off and go to different places and spaces. So this is something that I had seen. And, you know, I feel like in a couple of times in my life, I've got, you know, pieces or portions of that energy inside of me that, you know, is on mission as well. And, is moving in that type of trajectory as well. I can't say that, you know, I am completely that type of being. I don't really know that. It's just more or less there are times I really feel that energy strong. There was something else about these beings in the sense of there wasn't a lot of, you know, forethinking involved. It was that, you know, they did what needed to be done for the betterment of the universe. And they would move fast, they would move strong, and they would move quick. And when I look back at some of the extraterrestrial encounters that I've had, they're very similar in the sense of how the beings would come in, the type of work that they would do, and then quickly move out. So there's definitely some similarity, consistency, and interrelationship between what I had seen prior to incarnating on this earth plane and while I've been here on this earth plane as well. And those are just some of the beings. I mean, there's others as well.
No, that sounds great. I'm interested in some of the extraterrestrial encounters you've had because I've had some, and they're so hard in a way for me to pin down because, first of all, they're not in a normal state of consciousness for me. I seem to be in a altered mind, so it's hard, and that's just my experience, to place it in this reality, yet I know something has happened, but it's outside my personality frame. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. And it hasn't been exactly my experience of that. I do understand, and thank you for sharing that, you know, it's like this quasi kind of in-between state where maybe you can't, you know, grab a rock while it's happening. But it could be, you know, in that quasi in-between state. And some of those type of experiences I've had, and then I've had the others where I am, you know, very coherent and I'm doing something fairly mundane and then, you know, it's they're right there.
So, tell me about those. They sound really interesting.
Okay. Well, I will tell you this. So when I was a kid, I really was waiting. Like I was waiting for them to come. My life felt a bit incomplete before 5 years old. And when they first came, what happened was that my physical, well, probably about 5-6 hours beforehand, I'm not great with time as a kid to remember, you know, how many hours it was. I felt my physical body really change. The cells of my body became heightened. I would actually say that they probably had spin and vorticity happening because in retrospect, now that I have better language for it, the cells of my body were really, really moving and they were spinning. And then when it was actually my older sister was in the room with me and she got up and she saw the ship outside and she said, "Oh, Susie, you know, look at it. What is it?" And I knew what it was. And then the next thing, my body started to actually move through the walls and started to move outside. And I consciously actually remember saying at 5 years old, "Oh, this is the first time my physical body in this female human body is experiencing this." isn't this cool? It was like, it felt kind of funky and it felt kind of uncomfortable. However, the cells of my body moved at such a point that I was able to move through the wall. And I remember thinking, this might hurt. And it felt weird. It didn't feel painful. It felt a bit unusual was probably the best way I would describe it, and a bit bumpy. However, I was still able to move through this. So that was a very physical experience in the sense of I was in my room, sleeping in my bed. I felt this, you know, it was almost like having the entire transition. I wasn't going from A to L. I was going from A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Like there was a transition that I was very conscious of when I was five. And then, there was a point that I don't remember, you know, the physical part of coming into contact with the beings, but it was like, boom, you know, then they were right there. And we were having an engagement in my kitchen at that point. So, that was again, a real physical transition. And what I can say is that this kind of quick in and out thing that was happening with the beings is that, you know, what I could pick up and sense from them, from their emotions is that they had a job to do. They needed to come here. We needed to have this physical interaction. Well, sure, it was on the spiritual plane. Sure, it was on the emotional plane. It was also very much on the physical plane, but they had also had a short amount of time, that they could drop in and go back out. So again, that's just one experience. I have others.
No, that's great. No, thank you for sharing. Was that, those weren't the golden beings. Were those the grays that you met at that 5 years old, or who were they?
Not grays in the typical sense. They were definitely more luminous in nature. They were not golden, but they were more luminous, had like this luminous hue to them. And they were very loving and they were very smart and they seemed to know me better than I actually knew myself. And if I'm to be incredibly honest here and straightforward, and not, you know, maybe be too humble to hide some things, it was almost like one of them was me looking at me and infusing whatever I needed to know and feel at 5 years old to assist me along this journey. And there was a lot of, there was also testing that was involved. They were testing the food, they were testing the water. So, you know, I really do feel like part of me was on the other side, coming back to me. So,
and that's why they kind of came to download some information to you about what you'll need for this journey. Do you feel that way? That was,
yeah, it was more than information though. What it was this, what it was the feeling of love in my physical body and the feeling of eternity in my physical body. So even though my consciousness held that, you know, as a child and, my dad would actually tell me, he'd tell me I was a very happy baby. And that I was very easy to please. He said that, you know, so he it was cute because he said that piece. And ironically, I'm fortunate he could remember that after having five kids. But I share that with you because it wasn't so much the knowledge. It was something to do with my physical human body to override. I mean, and again, now in retrospect, I can see it so much more clearly, but to override any of the genetic flaws that I might have incarnated in with, to help me and to move me along this journey. So when the being touched my hand, it wasn't so much of, you know, the mind meld or the information transfer. It was this gentle touch and then this incredible transfer of love, warmth, security, knowing, family, relationship, and that's what changed me, even more so, and grounded that other reality into my physical day-to-day reality, and I'll share another little story with you.
Well, let me just add comment on that, is that for some reason I believe you, because it sounds so real and true and sincere when you're speaking about that experience. It I kind of get a feeling for it, and not that I would doubt you, but I can feel the realness of that for you, and it feels very familiar somehow. But yeah, share that other experience as well.
Well, thank you for that, because it's, you know, sometimes when we talk about these things, and I know that I've talked about them obviously more in the last couple of years than I ever have in my whole life. And, you know, being able to speak from the experience versus about it, helps me to even get back into it, to remember the richness and the completeness of it. So thank you for acknowledging that. The other piece is when I was a kid, I remember having these gerbils. I'm sorry, not gerbils, hamsters. And I don't know if you've ever had hamsters, but they're a little bit different than gerbils. They're a little bit more wiry and they can bite. And I was holding my hamster, and my hamster bit me. And I remember squeezing it. And I remember, like, you know, being so angry, like, I could hurt this. I could kill this thing. And it was just this instant reaction as a kid. And what I can tell you this is, after I had that encounter, or the series of encounters, because there wasn't just one. When I was a kid, I was moved a lot, and had a lot of experiences on the ships and a lot of experiences with the beings. But after that, I never physically put my hands on any other being or any other life energy. It was almost as if them, the ETs coming in and working, you know, with my physical body, with my, you know, central nervous system and my energy body as well, that I was tweaked to a point where, you know, you are to not to cause harm to another. So, you know, there's like this pivotal point, where the empathy piece is incredibly important, and, you know, that's doing the work that I do now with emotional intelligence. I mean, heavens forbid, when we look at so much that's going on in the planet right now, they're really, when you whittle everything down, it's the human being's ability to not be empathetic with all that's going on around them, and to obviously be shut off to their own emotions and their own feelings. And anyway, so that was, when I look at the progression of the beings and their impact on my physical body and on my emotional body, you know, I see much more wisdom here. You know, we talk about it's about love, it's about love, it's about love. Well, sure, it's about love. It's also about being able to appropriately feel certain emotions, because, you know, certain emotions guide us to do things that are much more beneficial for the entire world around us.
Right. No, we'll get to the emotional intelligence work that you're doing, but I loved hearing just your connection. So you said, because there was this element that they felt in you of mm-hmm. violence, they had to kind of help you, which is the human animal.
Right. It's the primitive part of what human beings have. It's the amygdala response.
Right, so they kind of helped reshape that part of you as well, you feel?
I do, and by the way, it wasn't as if I had violent tendencies as a child. I mean, I think I was pretty compassionate to begin with. It was almost as if I got this extra tweaking to hold even something at a greater vibration. And in one of the experiences, I was laying on a table, and I didn't like what they were doing, because I didn't like the way that it felt. However, I understood even at that moment that this was for the greater good, that whatever they're doing to my physical body has to be related to the greater good. And I just have to, you know, lay here and allow this and understand, you know, what it might be about. They were actually testing another being, and this being was not entirely human, by the way, and this being was feeling anger and sadness, and those are the two emotions that it was, you know, feeling at the same time. And I was able to feel what the being was feeling, was emanating off of its body, and also the tone of voice that it was crying in, you know, that tone in vibration. So I was able to actually feel that, and I didn't like how it felt. However, I knew that tuning in piece was an important piece. So, you know, they were actually, you know, going beyond what I feel, you know, again, we talk about love. However, they were going beyond to actually see if I could feel, you know, what this other being was feeling. And, you know, now I'm tuned into that with people who have a whole host of different emotions.
So emotions are a key element to all beings, you feel? I mean, some people say it's something that humans have an abundance of, because some of the grays or some of these other ET races don't seem to be so emotional. They seem to be very mental, intellectual, intelligent. And I think some of what they wanted from us was our ability to feel, to be empathic, to connect with others. I mean, what do you think? What's your feeling? I mean, of course, there's a whole range of beings we're talking about, but what's your feeling about?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, sometimes I just look at the beautiful pool that's around us on this planet, and doing the emotional intelligence work that I've done, you know, you don't have to look outside the solar system or outside the you know, galaxy in order to see the variety that exists on our planet. The work that I've done in emotional intelligence, I have seen human beings that are highly devoid of emotion, and have worked intensely with those people in order to try to get them to feel certain things and to get those pieces in them jump-started, because they are heavy with the intellectual, and heavy with, you know, the data and the facts. So, I haven't met beings outside of, well, wait a minute. Let me be really careful before I say that. I don't know if I have consciously cleared that piece out, that I have met beings that are not, you know, of this earth, that exhibit those same type of characteristics in terms of, you know, missing emotion and being so heavy on the data. What I've worked really closely with, that I can, you know, say beyond a shadow of a doubt, are human beings that are, you know, doctors, folks in technical positions, academic personnel, engineers. A lot of those folks seem to be heavy on the strategic, like logical data, and low on the emotional piece. So I don't, hopefully that answers your question, because, but I can see something. I can see this trajectory. You know, let's say hypothetically, some of us start to develop anti-gravity technology and we get off the planet. Well, you can see the split now between those groups of people who don't value the emotion and just kick it out, and maybe don't think about the universal footprint that they leave if they start to, you know, get off of this earth. And then conversely, you can see groups of people that know how to work together, be cohesive, listen to one another, feel for the greater good of everybody, take into account, you know, the emotionality of what it is that's going on and where they're going. So for me, you know, as I look at that, I say, wow, as a species living on this planet, we might look the same in terms of, you know, the two arms and two legs for the most part, you know, and the body being fairly upright. However, what's housed inside of us is very different. And if that trajectory continues, you can actually see where it's going to go. Like, for example, I can only imagine the lack of emotionality that's exchanged by people working on the Higgs boson, the particle accelerator.
Right. But yeah, but those seem like learned and conditioned and cultural things, blueprints that have been put on us. I mean, my belief is that we are emotional beings, and as human beings, our greatest capacity is to feel, and that's who we basically all are before we get imprinted with other things, other needs, other conditioning. What do you think about that?
Well,
or maybe you have a different experience.
Well, And I think maybe it's because of the work that I've done, and I've been able to be infused in tight academic and tight organizational structures where, I mean, really, the focus on the focus on the logic and the data is so strong that, you know, you can start to see this cycle that begins to evolve and begins to develop that then gets merged into the home, that then gets merged into, you know, when someone has children. So, you know, there's this, it's almost like a dilution, Alan, that I see that's happening on this planet of this lack of appropriate emotionality. You know, it's like anything, if it's not paid attention to, if it's not nurtured and it's not cared for in the right manner, you know, there can be what I would call like a lack of evolution. And, you know, so that's one of the things that I'd see. Do I believe that every human being has the capacity deep down inside? Yeah.
Yes. Oh, you do.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt. Absolutely. I mean, and that was one of the problems that I had growing up. And I think maybe I fixed this a couple of years ago, but I would see people's soul first before I would see their physicality or their emotional body. I would see their soul first. So I would always see the potential in everybody. I wouldn't see the flawed person. I wouldn't see that stuff. So I do see that. I do believe that every soul has the capacity. The kicker is not everybody is willing to do something about it. Not everybody is willing to see it for themselves. So when those things are not paid attention to, you know, before you know it, you could have what I would call sometimes like a social tsunami happening, where before you know it, you've got a social world around you that somebody falls down on the street and they don't lend a hand to pick the other person up. So, those are some of the things that I see. And we've got this, what I feel like is an acceleration of, you know, don't call it time. You know, we can call it maybe an acceleration of different vibrations where we don't have a lot of time to fix, all these other things that are going on right now. That intentionality has to be there to want to become whole and to want to become vibrant and to want to become connected.
Well, let's talk about emotional intelligence, because I think that's something you've developed, and we're seeing that this, what you've just said, this kind of sociopathic behavior being brought out, and that's what the whole Occupy movement was about. It's not just about not picking people up or falling down, but actually taking away people's homes by banking systems, and I mean it's this whole economic corporate lack of emotional intelligence that seems to be running the world. So, I mean, so, well, then talk about emotional intelligence and how we can change the world in that way.
Well, I hope that there's a lot more people that are willing to change the world, because those of us who are working on it, it gets pretty tiring doing so much. So the more hands that come in and help out and the more minds and hearts, obviously, the better. Well, a couple of interesting statistics that are forever burned in my brain is that people higher up in organizations, you know, let's say the president of the organization or the higher level VPs, there is a decrease in emotional intelligence. So what we know is that the people running the majority of these companies that are out there do not have the ability to accurately feel others' emotions and then to be able to effectively manage those. So that's a research study. That's fact. We also know that people that have higher levels of income also lack appropriate emotional intelligence. So you've got go ahead.
Well, no, I just want you to define emotional intelligence if you can.
Well, the definition of emotional intelligence, the model that I work with, which are created by some wonderful human beings, and I'd like to give them credit, David Caruso, who is a colleague of mine at Yale University, Peter Salove and Jack Mayer, they are the ones that developed this concept of it. I know that Dan Goleman is the one that popularized it, but these guys are the ones that really did a lot of this grunt work, hard work to create a test and then to create models that, you know, many people around the world use today, not just for business, but also for teaching emotional intelligence to teachers and teaching it to kids in school. So, you know, there's this nice altruistic benefit.
What is it exactly? I mean, how do you know if you have it, and what are the qualities of it?
Okay, so the definition of it, and then I'll give you what I would call like Susan's layman's terms on it. So the technical definition is the ability to accurately identify emotion in yourself and in others, and then the ability to effectively manage that for beneficial outcomes. So for example, if I am communicating with a friend and I've said something that upsets that friend, but I miss it because I'm so focused on doing whatever I'm doing or I'm really busy, then I probably didn't exercise my emotional intelligence very very effectively. However, I'll give you an example. So my daughter, who means the world to me, I love this child, you know, immensely. If I'm sensing that mom's busy and I haven't really paid a lot of attention to her today, you know, she's understanding that I'm busy, but I'm sensing that her energy is a little lower. She's not as enthusiastic as she is. She seems to be turning away a little bit when I'm talking to her. So I'm noticing that, her emotion might be one that's sad or, you know, despondent. And what do I do at that point? So one, I've noticed it. I've got an attention on it. Two, I'm feeling the feeling of, ooh, yeah, it doesn't feel good to feel sad, or it doesn't feel good to know that your mom's not paying attention to you because, you know, I remembered that when I was 7 years old and that wasn't a great feeling. So what am I going to do about it? So, you know, here's the management piece. So, you know, maybe I'll close my laptop. I look at her directly in her beautiful blue eyes and I say, honey, you want to go get an ice cream, or do you want to go play soccer outside, or do you want mommy to listen to you play the flute? So that's our opportunity to bond with one another, for me to pay attention in that moment. That's a really critical moment, because these emotional ups and downs, they're real critical moments, and some of us pay attention to them and some of us just miss them completely, or some of us don't care and maybe do that tough love thing. But that's an example of having what I would call like a higher level of emotional intelligence. And it can be very taxing. It can be very draining. Sure. However, there's pivotal moments in our lives where we can build relationships with people, and there's pivotal moments where the relationship begins to break down. And that's an example of.
Well, so you're saying just being sensitive and empathic and open in a way to the field of emotionality is a key to an emotionally intelligent person.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think what the thing that's changing, because I love change. I'm always looking for, you know, okay, what's next, what's beyond, where can we take this and go higher and higher. And as I really started to look at this, I've gotten deep into my spirituality with, I know people say, well, it's really no emotion, no attachment. And okay, sure, to a point. However, when we see some great injustices that are occurring in the world, what do we do then? You know, the emotion does inspire us to act. If there's a sense of injustice, I for myself, I went down to the Occupy Wall Street when everything was really, really high, you know, when the emotion down there was high, and that energy was incredible. I mean, it was wonderful, and it wasn't a bunch of angry people. I mean, these people were passionate about so many injustices that were going on with the financial industry and women that, you know, thought it's ridiculous that I have to go back to work after 6 weeks after I have a baby. You know, this is one of the things that is wrong with our society. You know, the United States operates so much differently than other countries.
Well, I don't think spirituality is divorced from feeling and emotion. I think the very essence of feeling is the reason we've incarnated. I think it's really the only reason we incarnate is to feel what it is to have these raw human emotions. I mean, I don't mean drama where you're acting out, but feeling, that sensitivity, and I don't think we could have enough of it. And if people are passionate, well, they're being alive, which is the reason we came here in the first place. So I think that's what's wrong with the new age and spirituality is people think they can't have feelings, and that's really gotten them, lots of people, off in a kind of a misguided direction, in my opinion.
Well, thank you. And I would agree with that as well. And I'll share a personal story. So a couple of years ago, I was fairly sick. I wasn't doing so well, right? And I thought, how did I come on this earth to get sick? I mean, I was very sick to a point where I had a hard time writing. I lost my mom when I was younger of this genetic disease, and I started to manifest symptoms of it 5 years ago. So, if I had what I would call, like, you know, that detachment at that point in my life, it would not have served me, because folks and I love these people that were, you know, trying to help me out. The folks in the spiritual community would say, this is your karma. You might have to live this out. You know, basically they're saying, well, it's your karma that you might have this disease, carry it and die. And excuse my language, but I was like, screw that. No.
Yeah, I don't believe in that whole karmic rap thing. It's such garbage, really. I don't believe in karma. I mean, you can create whatever you want. But anyway, so that's what people were telling you. So, yeah.
You know what? And that was really hard for me to swallow, because I was vulnerable. I was scared. You know, I remember walking and feeling like everything was going to cave out from underneath my legs, like if I didn't stand up straight. That's how I felt during that time in my life. And I went to numerous people, you know, spiritual gurus. I went to a Buddhist that basically said that, you know, you could die. And I love Buddhism. I love the Tibetan Buddhists. You know, I again have high reverence for them. So everywhere, I mean, what a challenge, what a journey, because everywhere I went, I wasn't getting people holding my hand, looking me in the eyes and saying firmly, oh, you're going to do this. You're going to beat this. Nobody did that. Nobody did that. If anything, people were running. People were scared. This looked like it couldn't be beat, and we can't help you. Or, you know, you get people that turned away. So the sicker I got, the more I became scared. However, that fight inside of me to get better. And really, it was a moment where I looked at my daughter, and she reminds me a bit of my mom. And I thought to myself, you know, there's no way I was put on this earth having all these experiences and seeing all that I've seen and experiencing all that I've experienced to let this disease get me. And that's when I really developed the strength to move and to do different things that were far beyond what anybody was even remotely suggesting on this journey. And because of that, because of constantly following what I feel like were these closed doors that had no lights on inside, and by entering into that, I was able to get better. And then, you know, what I've done over the last couple of years is help other people, you know, move through their strong things that they've got, whether they be disease or, you know, these other afflictions, and just help people move through, because I know it can be done.
And maybe that's connected to those golden beings and the kind of fluidity of DNA and overcoming the kind of human element that kept us locked to our genetics, or let's call it karmic patterns. And it seems like you were able to transmute that.
I was able. And again, this doesn't have to be anybody else's. I know that I've heard different people that, again, our channelers and guides will talk about, well, it's the etheric body that's damaged and not the physical. For me, I can tell you point blank, square, that I incarnated into a physical body that had the genetic predisposition for this disease. Mm-hmm. And I had unconsciously moved my life into certain patterns where I was set up to have this click of the trigger be switched on to have this disease. So it's not so much about, oh, you have the disease or you don't. The environment that's around you, the energies that are pulling at you, even your geography, for heaven's sakes, there's so much that contributes to what gets turned on and what doesn't. And so I had to clear out the genetic piece of my physical body. And that was, I can't say completely done, but that was really kickstarted by going to the Amazon and spending time with the shamans that were there and in participating in one ayahuasca ceremony. I've never done anything like that before, never did anything like that afterwards. And that really helped me to clear some of these lines out and to get rid of some of the fear as well, because, you know, disease really can't live in a body that, that is positive, and that the kundalini and that everything is moving smoothly. It can't live in there. It just can't live. So, that experience really helped me to clear out, genetically what was going on. And as a result, I feel like I finally felt what spirit felt like in my body on a regular basis.
So in order to clear out this pattern, this kind of family genetic pattern, did you do anything consciously? Did you go into your DNA structures or see it or rework it? Or was it just the sense of this joy and exuberance that you allowed to come through your body?
Oh, what a great question. I love that question. Thank you. I know I went in and I saw it. And that was my intention. I held a very strong intention my entire time that I was there. I was so focused that, I mean, an atomic bomb could have gone off around me and I wouldn't have noticed, because I was so focused on clearing this. And so what I asked is, I asked to look at the disease. I said, please show me this, because I want to see this. I felt like I couldn't ask for the healing unless I understood this ugliness for what it was. And I was scared, but I wanted to see it. And so that's what I asked in my intention. You know, before you drink, you talk with the shaman and you state what your intentions are. And my intentions were that I wanted to see this. I wanted to understand how it came in. I wanted to understand what it does. And then, of course, you know, I want the healing part. I want it removed. I want it extracted. And I was able to see this beautiful, colorful, infinite, it looked infinite, strands of DNA that actually had, I drew this out, I should probably put this somewhere, but it had all the life symbols on it. And the colors were just so vibrant and so extreme. So this beautiful DNA strand, you know, that had embedded my body, I was able to see that. But then I was able to see how this entity came in and attached itself to the DNA. I was able to see that. And when I saw it, I mean, it scared me in ways that, you know, like a little kid sees the boogeyman. I mean, that's, it really, really, really scared me. And at that point, I started to really, call out for help. There's more to this story. I'm kind of shortening it to talk about the healing piece. But I saw it. I saw it. I confronted it and I saw it. And again, it wasn't pretty. However, that was a necessary piece for me to then become stronger and to move in a whole different way in this world than I ever had imagined previously. So even with all the ET contact, right? There's only so much that they can do. They can't do everything for you. This is what I've learned. They can't fix everything for you. At least for me, this was my journey, and this was something that I needed to be a big girl and to deal with.
Yeah, thank you for that. But just tell me, when you saw that being, that entity, that monster, and you felt the fear, what did you do in that moment? What was your strategy? What happened to you?
Well, I had seen the being, and my first reaction was, oh my God, this is so ugly. I've never seen anything so ugly in my life. I mean, it looked like a parasite. You know, it had teeth and it looked like a parasite. It was dark and it was dirty. It was so different than the color of the beautiful, vibrant DNA that was filling my body. And it didn't go away. What it was trying to do is it was trying to take me and then pull me, you know, completely away. And I thought, where am I going to go here? No, I'm not going. I'm not going. I'm not going. And I remember feeling completely surrendered to it. Like I didn't have a choice. It was taking me. And the only thing that I knew how to do was to call out for help. I didn't do that verbally, but I was calling out in my mind and in my heart, and in my gut. in asking for help. I said, please help, please help. I'm not going. I don't want to go, you know, where this is going. I came here to learn about this. I came here to... So I was still pretty conscious of why I was there. And then the next thing, there was nobody sitting next to me at the time. And then I hear chanting. I hear this other chanting other than what the shamans were chanting. They were chanting their Icaros. And then next to me, I hear this other chanting. And then I actually look and I see His Holiness the Dalai Lama sitting next to me. And I look at him and he tells me to lay down. And he's got his Belen Dorje and he's rocking back and forth and he's singing some mantra in Tibetan or in Sanskrit. And it's, I can hear it. It's completely different than what the shamans are singing, but on a similar pattern. But again, not the same words and not exactly the same tone and frequency. And I think I actually rub my eyes several times and then put my hands on the ground to feel the dirt and to feel my floor, actually touch my chair and say, okay, well, this isn't real, because if he's there, then, you know, if I look over again, he'll be there, but he's not going to be there because he can't be. So then I wipe my eyes, touch the chair. I look over and he's still there. So, I just looked at him and he actually raises his voice at me and says, ah, da, 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 which I understood really clearly, even I didn't understand verbally what he was saying. You need to lay down. I'm here to take care of you now. You need to lay down. And at that moment, I laid down, and then I was actually given information about how to do a healing around this, and was shown this very beautiful connection between the earth energies and the etheric energies to the universe, that some of these plants that are here are truly designed as the connection. They call them sky rope, which I found out afterwards. It's truly designed as the connection between, you know, this physical earth world and the cosmos. So it was really incredible. And after that experience, the fear that I had greatly reduced by about 80% with almost everything in my life. I had an incredible dream that night where I could fly and I was moving in and out of places and spaces. And I mean, I was super hyper present, in travel to visit friends, because I was in Peru. So there was friends here in North America and I was actually visiting them and had heightened precognition after that, got quite a few visions that all ended up coming true a couple of months after that experience. And I felt clean. I mean, I think for the first time as an adult, I felt very clean in my body.
Wow, beautiful experience. Thank you. And it sounds like part of what was so healing is that your intent was so focused and so one track and so, you know, that's what you went in there for, and that was the only thing that you wanted to know, and with that, you know, the universe answered you. And I think the focus and maybe of course the substance and the openings those things do for you was part, but I think you had a high intention and I think that's something we all can have, in whatever level, that it helps us get through certain obstacles.
Yeah. And I'll share something else with you, because you just brought up something that's, you know, even as I sit here today, you know, questioning certain things, going back to that strong intent, you know, and I always feel like I can feel it between my third chakra and my heart chakra. And that's where, when I've had my encounters, when my physical body has been pulled, you know, the physical, the emotional, the spiritual, but you can really feel it in the physical. It seems to be right there, you know, between that point. And there were times over the last couple of years where, you know, things were harder as I was moving along this journey and then, and separating from a long-term relationship and, you know, really shifting and changing my life around, where I would call out from that place. I would call out from that strong intention, that strong place. And I would actually have a ship appear over my house, and I would get I would get connected in. So, you know, they don't come for, they don't come for, you know, a stop at the local pizza shop. You know, they come when they're needed, and the connection occurs when it's most needed. That's what I've learned in all my contact experiences, that, you know, when there's something that's really important and something that needs to shift, move, change, or information needs to be transferred, then the connection is made. So, you know, there's a relationship between what I experienced in the ayahuasca with that natural plant medicine and also, our interdimensional friends or extraterrestrial friends, however we want to phrase it.
Well, that brings up a point that I've been thinking about as you're talking, and that I've had sort of the last years, I mean, since everyone's been anticipating 2012, is that something about the fabric of reality itself seems to be shifting, and these connections that seem to come and go and that are always here will be appearing more and become more solid in this reality somehow. That's the sense I'm getting. I mean, right? Do you get that?
Oh, definitely. Oh, so definitely. It's been, you know, I feel like I can finally rest my shoulders a little bit more, you know, and it's a relief. It's a relief because what I've been able to experience is so much more my normal reality than what used to be, you know, this more denser earth reality. So for me, this feels like home, like what's finally happening. It feels comfortable. It feels like home. And it's like a relief. It's like I can finally, you know, again, like relax my shoulders. And I believe in again, I'm not a physicist. And there's other people that can speak to this much more eloquently because they've got that science piece than I can. From a laywoman's terms, what I feel is that as the earth continues to move and enters into this galactic plane, you know, our window view really changes for what's going on in the universe. And as that, you know, again, as the earth moves, we're starting to see more of what really is and what was always there. Just in the last year, well, actually in the last year and a half, I've had more sightings and more information transferred that I've actually stopped counting because it's so consistent now. And I keep in touch with a lot of other people that have had either a lifetime of ET contact or fairly consistent contact, and they're having it happen as well. So it's wonderfully exciting to know that so much more is in our vision and is in our view. That for, you know, some of us contactees, it's like we can look out the window and we're seeing it fairly regularly. And it's wonderful because those people who have wanted to see but might not have experienced that are also being able to see.
Right. I mean, you'll meet someone on Thursday, Mark Brinkerhoff, who's taken pictures over New York consistently of ships appearing, and they call to him and he points his camera and they're there. You could see him on the photos.
It's wonderful.
But what also I mean is that the fabric of reality itself, and if I'm around people who are I have to leave, like, negative people or people who are complaining all the time. I cannot be around them, and I need personally to be around people who have this kind of uplifting vision, because that feeds me. And if I'm not, I feel like, you know, I'm taken down into another realm. But if I am around people like the things you've been saying and I've been meeting, then I start to see clearly that there's this other plane of existence that's starting to filter into this reality.
Yes. You said it better than I did. Yes. Absolutely. So it's almost as if that there is this lighter density that exists that you can play in, and it feels really good, and you're seeing more, and information is being transferred without even really talking at sometimes. It's almost like the space between someone's words are more valuable than actually the words of what they're saying, because it's it's almost even telepathic in nature, and what you're able to like. Let me give you an example. I was with a group of friends in New Hampshire a couple of months ago, and we just had a it was just a wonderful evening. This man, his name is Chris, his wife cooks just her. I love her cooking. It's phenomenal. And she pulled together this wonderful meal, and they cook, you know, all natural, all organic and with consciousness. And we went out later that night and went to a walk to a pond. And as we're all standing under this tree, this pine tree, I can see the tree complete. I can see the complete energy form of this tree, and the tree is like dancing with us, literally. And I look around and I go, are you guys seeing this? Because like this tree is like touching us. Like this tree is alive. I can see it. It's almost this electric blue color when it's interacting. And you know, they're wonderful and they're very open-minded, obviously, and they can feel it, but they can't see it. And I thought, you know what? If I was with a different group of people, this wouldn't have happened. But because with these people who are wonderful, loving, kind, supportive people, I can see more. This is cool.
Exactly. And, you know, I think there's, because the frequency of the earth is changing, our place in the galaxy is changing, we are getting more information from the stars, and things are being activated in our brains that are awakening us to a greater potential. There are people who are going with it, and there's a bunch of people who don't want that. They want to hold on to the density, and well, I don't know what to do about it except not to be around them. But what do you do about it?
I can tell you what I used to do, and what I'm doing now is what I used to do is I would spend a lot of energy, a lot of words, a lot of care and a lot of concern for these people to get it. The ones that didn't want to, the ones, you know, like, let's be honest, our family and our friends, people that we've known for ages that are just kind of naturally a part of our life, whether we want them to be or not, right? I mean, they're,
right.
And we care for them, and there is this sense of, hey, I know what's coming down the pipeline for humanity because I've seen the future, and everything that I've seen so far has come true. So, and I don't say this, you know, egotistically, I say it because it's like smelling smoke in a building that's going to blow up. Like if you smell the smoke, which some of us do, you know, and again, some of us who are tuned into these earth energies or earth empaths, or even let's say universal empaths now, we can see stuff. We kind of have this sense of, we know what's going to happen, and we're trying to do mama bear and trying to protect and trying to hold and trying to do all these things. And that I actually stopped because, and I stopped probably not so long ago, because what I realized is that, I mean, other than being disappointed from it, is that I would get pulled into that level of density. And before I knew it, I was stuck. I could feel like that stickiness. And then I would, how I got out of it is I would literally go to a mountain, climb a mountain, go to the ocean, you know, anywhere that I could be in nature. And then I would pull myself out of it.
Right.
Share something else. So now I've made a very conscious decision, and I will tell you, this has been guided by my interdimensional or ET brothers and sisters. I had a very profound experience happen last October where I was basically told, you need to go elsewhere. And it defied logic. It defied everything of my comfort, my security, finances, you name it. It was time for me to go. So I'm now shifting my life to move to a different place, and to be with different people that are more supportive, and I'm more aligned with on along this journey, because in that sense, I will be able to better help those people, even though they don't want to be helped, because I'm actually using my energies in a whole different way that's completely supportive of all of who I am.
Right. And with that, more of you comes online and more of your potentials and your compassion, and it feels like a flowering for you, you know, an acceleration as you talk about that shift for you, because The people who don't want that, maybe there's just nothing to do for them except leave them alone and plant a seed and then come back and see if that seed grows. And if it does, it does, great. And if it doesn't, that's okay. But I know it is hard to leave your family and friends, and but there is a new consciousness awakening, and sometimes it's surprising about people who we think are dense, and suddenly, wow, they've had an experience and they get it, and now, you know, there's one more that's
and now
there.
They're championing the change for their, you know, it's like ripples in ponds. I've started to look at people as like these ripples in these ponds. It's not so much, you know, before maybe it was like, okay, well, I needed to create the ripple in the pond. And what I've realized is if I'm completely showing up in this world, you know, in my full presence, the way that I'm designed to show up, then I will be able to create those ripples with others and vice versa. You know, I will allow people to create those ripples in me that are positive. And I feel like this is what I've always felt here. This hasn't changed. If anything, it gets more and more confirmed. The name of the game is evolution. That's the name of the game. And we're not evolving because we're stronger and, you know, we've got more brute. We're evolving because the heart is becoming wiser and we're becoming more compassionate with one another. We're able to do group mind, group think, more community based. This is what's going to propel us to go further. And, you know, from what I can tell, especially after reading, you know, Bruce Lipton's work, which confirmed, you know, what I had felt initially about evolution, is that the universe loves diversity. So there's a robustness in that diversity. So looking at all of us human beings that come from maybe these different star places, you know, for some of us who feel like we're star seeds from the Pleiades or from, Sirius, you know, these different star systems, like, well, you know, it's really this big cosmic fishbowl that we're in, and having this diversity really helps to promote the evolution and the robustness in the universe. In some of the ET experiences that I have had, I have seen, which I haven't talked about much, but I will say this because it's appropriate now, and other people have experienced this, that I have been asked to hold babies that were not entirely human. And you know, you get the flip side of the people that have the conspiracy thing going on will say, well, you know, they were using you for a breeding program. No, they weren't. They were asking if I could tend to, you know, these babies because it was needed. So I look at, you know, the interdimensional extraterrestrial family that's out there as really, we're all in this together, you know, so there's things that they're giving us that's helpful and vice versa. There's things that we can give them. So we're both teacher and we're both student. And that's a pretty nice balance to have. So again, I think at the end of the day, regardless of who's on this journey or not, that I know that I'm driven by something, which is evolution, and I'm not going to stop because of some ego hang up along the way or someone who's not, you know, going to want to be on this journey. I'm wired for that piece. I'm wired to go all the way. And I know that there's a lot of us that are, but to go all the way in a big heart centered open space.
Right. I want to continue with that conversation along those lines, but I just want to tell you that I do feel like I donated some of my genetics, not for a breeding program, but because it is all about everything and we're connected to everything. And if my genetics could help further, a race of beings in their evolution. I mean, who knows if it's, I mean, but I feel like I have, and I've been, and I do remember a dream where I was given this little creature and put in my hands, and actually I didn't know what to do with it. It was like a kind of like, it was a little weird for me. So I didn't have the emotional connection I would imagine I would, because it was just so shocking to have that experience. But I mean, now maybe I could have, because I've evolved more, but I don't know. What do you think about that?
I think that's beautiful. I think that, you know, it's interesting because we, as we look back and say, wow, I because of how I've grown as a human being from the time that you were asked to hold this baby or this infant or this being to who you are now, you would approach this a different way. So isn't that wonderful that whatever you've done over, you know, XYZ years, you now can embrace something that you see or that you did see at the time as being different from yourself. So what do I think? I think it's lovely. I really.
Well, thanks. I mean, I was just a little surprised, but I mean, it was about, I think that was in 1988 that I had that experience. And then, but I think now this integration of consciousness, I mean, we've all, lots of us have been on a journey for quite a while. And now it seems like this other element, you can almost smell it in the atmosphere, this kind of grace that's being filtered into this earth plane. I mean, if you stay away from like the hardcore news and things like that that want to take you out of it, but if you stay in a community of friends like where you're going and other people and places I've been to and people I know in New York, if we stay in that community of like-minded beings, we start to uplift each other and the frequency and we start to really taste this next level of vibration that's already here, but we're trying to break through the morphogenetic field so everyone can have that available. That's how I feel.
That's, excellent, excellent. And that's right. So that's why, you know, I'm trying to use better language here. That's why those people that feel called to operate at that level. I mean, imagine all these different types of groups now that feel called to be with other like-minded people. And that can, you know, because when you're working in community at this heart level and at this, you know, call it a higher vibration, or a higher frequency, the things that you can create are really amazing. And
like what do you mean?
Well, sure. you could create new ways of growing food. You know, people are not so taxed out because in the sense of community, everyone's helping one another. You can also, you know, I do believe that soon we'll be able to create anti-gravity technology. And soon we'll be able to, you know, disease will be completely eradicated. So when that community support is really thriving and pumping, at all these different connected levels, disease can't exist there. So imagine having an incredibly robust, healthy group of people, because other people will want to know, well, how are they doing that? What is it that they're doing? So it creates this ripple effect around the planet. And I'm pretty darn sure about this. And again, it's an opinion, but I feel like I'm pretty darn sure about this. For all of us who are aware and awake and what's going on and feel moved to do these certain things, you know, we are pretty strategically placed and we will be asked to go wherever it is that we're the most needed, or we'll feel this pull to go wherever it is that we're the most needed. And those places around the planet are going to shine like these beacons of light to then to be able to affect all those who want to be affected around us. So that's just something that I feel so strongly about at this point, that, you know, it's not so much about focusing on those people that don't want to be assisted now. It's actually being able to move and to go into places and spaces where you feel like you're really showing up. The completeness of who you are doesn't have to be hidden. You're really able to fully show up.
Right. And those places that are, I mean, the ones that I've noticed are highlighted, places like Santa Fe, Sedona, Boulder, Colorado. These are places of light where like-minded people have formed communities to bring together, these awarenesses. And I think also, besides anti-gravity, I think free energy is the most important. Free energy devices, I mean, I know they're out there. Look how much energy there is in the universe. Why energy is free, you know? Why is it legislated and capitalized on when it just takes, I'm sure, one simple thing and boom, it's right here. And that would free so many people from corporate slavery in a way.
That's right, absolutely. And please forgive me. See, this is where I always jump ahead. It's like I have this understanding that, well, if we've developed the anti-gravity, it's because we've nailed the 0 point energy piece. We've nailed the free energy piece.
Right. And I know all that's possible. I mean, if you can think it, it can happen. And we've only thought about the worst things that can happen. We have yet to use our genius to think of the most amazing things that can happen.
Exactly. And you know, this is something that I want to share as well, is that, you know, for so long, you talking about like my ET experiences, one of the things that I crave more than anything is to really be able to talk about how the ships move, how the beings interact with each other, what that relates to as far as me or you or whomever else. And, you know, I feel like this is really the next piece for the contact community to get into that and to talk about that. You know, some of us might have had remember being on ships and remember operating them. I know that I do to a degree, and I know that I've gotten people that have been emailing me and communicating with me over the last couple of months that strongly remember this and, you know, are looking for a place to put all of it because they've gotten information about the mechanics of the ships. So what's happening is, to me, like, this is exciting because it's not so much about the psychological implications anymore. I think we've settled that piece. We've been there, done that, where, you know, the okay, I'm a contactee and I felt isolated and
Right, right. That was very 80s, 90s, wasn't it? But yeah.
90s, yeah. And now it's okay, we're good now. You know, we've got that piece settled in who we are, hopefully, you know, collectively. Okay, so now what's next? So what star system do you remember coming from? How did you remember getting there? Who was with you at the time? You know, it's really opening it up to the mechanics. And I know that there are more physicists, astrophysicists, engineers that are now more aware and awake, that want to connect in with other people to work to create and work to build these things. I do not think that they're going to come from any one person, you know, in this hierarchical type of structure, you know, pyramid type of structure that will then get rolled down. I don't think that's going to be the case. I think where it's going to come is from these new emerging communities that are being developed, because in all of those pieces of the people that exist in these communities is an entire puzzle that can get us off the grid, that can teach us new ways of living, and that can actually create these portals to open up this earth plane and break through this morphogenetic field to our brothers and sisters. And of course, you know, once we enter the galactic plane, that's going to be more enhanced as well. So, you know, to me, like, that's the exciting piece to really, you know, embrace all of that. And I think that's, I know for me, that's where I'm going. And, there's nothing that makes me happier knowing that, you know, we can actually, like, I've got my hands out here, like, you know, put them into create these things that we know are inherent to our soul. I mean, I've heard Nissim Harriman talk about this, where he says, you know, we're not meant, as a species is not meant to be tied to like one planet. And I
Right.
completely agree with that. And because of me being able to be in ships and popping in and out, and also having, you know, the memories already born in me of being elsewhere, like living in an entirely different planet that had an entirely different atmosphere that operated far differently than we operate on Earth. You know, and I know that there's other people that are like me that have had that in their memory, and, you know, they're dying to get back to that. So it's like, okay, you have it in there, you've got the knowledge, you've got the information, now we need to do something with it more collectively. And that goes beyond being in your home or hiding in your apartment from the human beings that are out there, because there are groups of people, if we're willing to, you know, kind of drop that piece of who we are, that are also looking for the same thing. So we actually need to be a little bit braver and more open to connect with others that are like-minded. But we got to find them too.
Well, we are finding them, and that's why I do the show. That's why I do my email, my website, New Realities. That's why I organize these events, because this is like a beacon for people coming together. And that's why I go to conferences all the time and meet people and network this consciousness together, like weaving the thread through a like-minded community that is out there that does want to connect. And I loved your excitement and passion in talking about this next awakening. It's very exciting to hear that. And you talked about going into the galactic plane. You mean the December 21st, 2012 alignment? Is that what you feel will be a kind of a touchdown point?
I do. I really, really do. I feel
I
like
do too. I do too. Yes.
I really do. And it's like, oh man, we've still got so much work to do before we get there. We've got the, you know, you've got the rise in the feminine energy, and you've got like this apex point of really like the aggression of this male energy that we're seeing on this planet. There's so much that's still happening, that's still going on. I have this complete faith though that we get there, that we do it. When I say we, it doesn't have to be the collective for everybody. It's just a matter of that those of us who came here to get to that point, we get there. We do it.
I think so. I think I might be down in Mexico, actually, on December 21st, 2012. Do you know where you might be?
I should be in Kauai, but twist my arm. I'd love to be in Mexico.
Oh, why don't you come to Mexico? I think I might be in Chichen Itza with a million other people, but I plan on being part of the Academy for Future Science event there with J.J. Hertog. I mean, we'll see, but that's one thing I might be doing. You know J.J. Hertog's work?
No, I don't.
Oh my God, that is a multidimensional text, The Keys of Enoch, where he was taken up with his body for 3 days to the higher levels of consciousness and brought back this amazing hyperdimensional volume of how to get back there. And he calls his organization Future Science. So it's very much in line with, I mean, I would say some of the work Nassim and Bruce Lipton and the new scientists that are, I feel, geniuses in creating a paradigm that's beyond the Newtonian mechanistic world. J.J. Hertog has formed a sort of spiritual map of those other dimensions. So I might be joining him there. But, and he talks about different ET races and all that. But just getting back to this shift and what you said also about the interactions of ETs themselves. I mean, that's one of the things I've been wondering about, because, you know, we may have these great moments where we're on a ship and then, but then we have to come back, make dinner, do the dishes, you know, do the laundry. I mean, but ETs themselves, I would say, do they have that kind of mundane experience, or is their consciousness always really heightened to the sense like of that interdimensionality? What do you think?
Well, all right. So as you were saying that, what I've just done is quickly scanned my mind and really felt into the energy of the different beings that I've seen and tried to, you know, put that on, you know, to put that cap on with the, you know, potential mundane piece. And I think that some of them do. The being that came in to see me that actually gave me energy that felt like this kundalini rush that then showed me how to move life energy out of my right hand. I feel like that being has probably a little bit more of a mundane existence because they felt a little bit more dense than the other beings. And others, I can't say that they would have that. I will share something with you that I think is important to share. And it's along the topic, but it's not exactly the same. When I was in my early 20s and then again in my early 30s, I had these two beings that literally appeared at the end of my bed, and they were very, very tall, and very wise and very knowing and looking through me like they knew everything about what I was going to experience in my life. And actually saw one of them like tilt their head a bit towards me, almost in, almost in this sense of care for what I would go through. And again, I can see that in retrospect now. I didn't see that previously. I thought, what are they looking at? But these two beings took me to this center point in what they considered their Milky Way galaxy. And then they showed me in my early 30s the evolution of this galaxy, and they were teaching me what this was. But as good teachers do, they were not giving me all the answers. They asked me to look into it as I was literally standing there in hyperspace with them, and to describe what I was seeing. And what I understand is that the universe as a whole is going through this birth process. It's almost as if the universe is giving birth to a new universe. And the different species that are here represented on planet Earth are all the different species that are actually in the universe and, you know, incarnated into these physical bodies. That's why all the different ships, that's why all the different races of ETs, that's why, you know, all the different levels of experience and people that are very intellectual and people that are very emotional. And it's almost like everybody's here to help break through, you know, the history of this morphogenetic field on planet Earth, to move this planet and to balance out its wings, because it was kind of, you know, it was shaky before it enters its galactic plane. But that we are, this universe as a whole is giving birth to a new universe that will be housed in a much higher level of frequency. So when we talk about being, you know, these creator gods, we really are. We really are. We really have the capacity to create what it is that we want. And that's why that diversity and that robustness is so important. So, you know, different type of beings having a mundane existence. I mean, some of the ones that I've seen, they're creator gods. That's what they do. And then others, you know, are a bit more on the, because the one that I saw that gave me the energy that I can use out of my right hand now, it was like they were just floating in, doing their job, and then floating out, like with no real attachment, and they were going to go on to their next stop. So, different.
Yeah, no, thank you. I get that. And I think, we are being birthed. December 21st, 2012, the Mayans say is the alignment with the black hole or the womb at the center of the galaxy. And out of that womb comes the fifth heaven, the fifth earth, the fifth dimension, I would say, this next level of this earth plane is being birthed, and I think things will be different. And as you were talking, I was thinking about that mundane question I was asking, and in a sense, it's only our conditioned human consciousness that thinks activity is mundane. I mean, you could be doing the dishes or making dinner and have a real enlightened, fantastic, wondrous experience, because if you're in the moment and present with all those elements, you're full of the totality of all there is. So in a sense, it's only, I would say, the deadening of the human consciousness that makes things seem mundane. And in essence, everything is full of life and light and energy. And that's what I think the future holds for all of us.
Well, that's a really, really great point. And I'll share something with you about the interaction, where the being had, I mean, being came in on this solo ship, although this particular being was also attached to these other ships. It was almost like they came in on this perfect geometric pattern. And I've seen this a lot in all my contact experiences, that when the beings traverse in and out and when they use the ship, everything is in these sacred geometric patterns, how they move, and how they, again, how they operate the ship. So the being came in, you know, very similarly. This being was at the very tip of, what looked like a triangle, with other energies behind it. And what made it mundane was my reaction to this, because the being is, you know, just flushed this energy towards me. It went through the bottom of my feet, rippled throughout my body. And then the next thing I know, I'm putting my hand to a plant and giving this plant life energy. So, you know, that's some of the work that I actually do with some of my clients now, because I realize, wow, I've got this thing. So I'm going to use it now. And it's really wonderful and I honor it. However, the being says to me, would you like to look at me? So the being was trying to engage me. And I said, okay. I go, okay. And as the being started to, because it had glasses on, started to take off these dark glasses, I said, no, you can't. No, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. And, you know, just this.
Were you, why were you be too, I mean, would you be too freaked out or something?
Scared at the time. I mean, apparently I can look at the luminous guys with the big black eyes and these really tall beings in my bedroom, but this wonderfully benign, soft being that gives me this transfer of energy. I'm like, no, I can't do this. So, you know, it felt more female-like that this one being, not completely female, because in so many of these, there's this kind of androgynous piece that goes on, but this one felt a little bit more female. And then she just, you know, gently, she just put her head down like, okay, and then just went along and went away. You know, so when I look at that piece, it's like, okay, maybe it was mundane because I rejected the potential, more in-depth interaction. And to this day, it's like, I want to go back and I want to say, no, come back. I'm ready.
Well, maybe you are ready now, and like I'm ready to hold another little ET baby. We learn by those human reactions that are so still programmed in us, but yeah, I'm sure she'll appear again when the time is right, and why not? I mean, this is what I think we are still trying to move out of the third dimension into the programmed consciousness that locks us into fear, that's still part of this plane of existence that we're really trying to push out of with these collective communities that we're forming of like-minded people. So I think it's great to share a story like that so we can all be here to support each other when these things do appear.
Yeah, exactly. And even though I've seen, you know, probably at least four or five different types of beings, still, there's so many more. And, you know, it's like, that's when I look around this earth that we have and all the different human beings that are there. I mean, you've got people that are wonderful people, living inside bodies that others might consider to be flawed. And, you know, so how do we look beyond that physicality piece? If we have a hard time looking beyond that physicality piece, you know, seeing the different beings that I've seen, then we're going to have a really hard time interacting with, you know, the various species that are out there.
Well, yeah, exactly. We have to get over our prejudices because sentience is the universal language, consciousness, awareness, and I thought I was ready to meet these beings, and I said okay, and then I felt a presence in my apartment, and I said okay, and suddenly this little mouse pokes its head from under the cupboard, and I scream because I didn't expect it, and then the mouse jumps up, and it's like, well, I guess I'm not ready.
Great story.
I know. I was like, well, all right, all right.
Exactly. You know, I love talking like this because, you know, sometimes we think that, you know, like we've got all the answers figured out, right? And we're going to profess this or profess that. But the reality is that, you know, even though I know I've had what I would consider quite a bit of contact and I'm seeing ships regularly, even still, I feel like I'm learning to operate in this human body because the human body is changing. You know, I've been in my light body. I know what that feels like. I've been in the human body. I know what it feels like. However, they're merging in different ways. I wish that there are doctors that can do some heavy research on this because I think there's a lot of rewiring that's going on right now. You know, people talk about we're getting DNA upgrades and da da da. Well, yeah, we are. So what that means is that we're actually learning how to integrate this light body as connected to this human body. And I use the analogy today when talking to somebody, I go, it's kind of like, I go, there's some moments that I kind of feel like a newborn, and there's a specific name for a horse when it's newborn. It's a cow. Is that what it is? It's a
I don't
newborn.
know.
All right. They might know
Maybe.
that, but you know, born horse, you know, right when they're born, they get up and they start walking and, you know, they've got these shaky legs and And that's what I see that's going on. I mean, I see it in myself. I also see it with other people too. And I do hypnotherapy with clients and I do energy work and you're seeing that. So, you know, this is new for all of us. In some ways, we've done this before. Yeah. I don't think that we've really have done it, in this type of human body before. So I think that there's humility, there's surrender. There's an openness where we might have known a lot of stuff before, but now it's like this is where the community piece and this is where the open piece really starts to come into play because we're all really doing this together, maybe for the first time for some of us and maybe not so much for the first time. But there's got to be a nice information exchange that happens. You know, so like you seeing the mouse, for example, you know, that was a sign that, okay, you might not be ready. However, you're going to be ready in a different way very shortly. If not, you are ready now.
Well, no, I know. And thank you. And but we're still being tested. And what you said about, yes, this might be the first time and we're coming into a knowing is what I get from what you're saying. And as we come into this knowing, as we come into this higher level, or we can look at someone and kind of read them and read their energy, it feels so familiar, you know, it feels like, oh, yeah, and it's who we are. So it is, in a way, the first time collectively, perhaps, but it's also the essential us, don't you think?
I do think, and I'll share this with you because I think this is pretty darn exciting. Last year, I started to have memories of working, like I always knew this about myself because of just real factual experiences I've had with life and death, with people that I have to somehow, I come when a planet is being seeded and I'm also coming to, when it's transitioning, when it's flipping over, because everything about the memories that I've had, prior to coming into this earth plane were really about that. And I've been at people's sides when they passed and I've also told people passing to the other side, just naturally, not like, okay, I set out to do this. It just happened. So somehow, like, part of my beingness has to do with, you know, ending a cycle and beginning one. It has to do with life and it has to do with death. And I started to remember actually working on the pyramids, working inside the pyramids. So last year, these memories just kept flooding in and they were so strong. And I was like, oh, cool. I didn't know I did this. And ironically, I ended up meeting, another individual probably about 6-7 months after having these memories who remembers being there as well. And we popped right into the exact same roles. Like, of years ago because you know it now is our time to clear out any of those things that didn't happen previously that probably should have happened. So it's almost like everybody gets to finish their job this time around. We get to settle in you know, clear as much of these ill patterns that need to be cleared, and we get to move to this next phase, you know, where we are. So I think it's really exciting. It's almost like, you know, all these lifetimes are collapsing into the one. So when you talk about seeing people at the soul level, yeah, I mean, we're really being able to see it because we're operating with this innate sense of knowing that's so strong, without having any of the ego stuff or without having, you know, just, this physical earth life. I mean, it's all starting what I call, it's almost like these collapsing dimensions are coming into the one. And as a result, your soul is so much more integrated and it's so much more fulfilling to have these relationships with people.
Right. The soul is integrated and we're being embodied more. This is what I find a special moment for me to feel my body more, to feel the soul incarnating throughout. So I'm not like spaced out. I'm not out of the body or up in the upper chakras, but coming into the lower chakras. We can always be in the upper chakras, but really to feel with consciousness all of who we are and pull the spirit into form is the unification of this time.
Excellent. And you know what? Thank you so much for saying that, because what has always been easy for me is those upper levels, and what wasn't was the lower, because I always felt like, what am I doing here? You know, what am I doing here? And I remember in one of these, you know, really early on past lives that I got to go back up. So somehow I was able to go back up. So when stuff started to get really unruly, you know, inside of the pyramids where we were working on them, I was able to go back up. So, you know, maybe I was connected to ships back then. I don't know exactly what it was. I didn't necessarily have to experience all that turmoil. So I didn't feel, you know, so grounded in my body. I mean, again, I remember this so clearly. And what I have learned that probably one of the reasons that I try to be so much more grounded now, is, and again, maybe my soul knew that I needed to experience this, is I've had a pretty, grounded life in this lifetime, and that has helped me. The ayahuasca also helped me to feel really grounded and and connected into this earth plane, to feel these energies on this planet more.
Well, I think there's been so much suffering, and I think in my last lifetime I was in this concentration camp, at least that's what I remember. So it was painful to actually be in the body because of the torture and the suffering, the war, all that, well, at least in my experience, I feel like I was living out of that upper level and then coming back in again and feeling. There was a fear of coming back in, but now I think I've cleared that, and now it's yes, this is the reason we're here. We're here to be fully embodied, and you know, it's also the completion of that kind of human karma, the fear of the body in that sense. But now, as we complete that cycle and we're bringing the spirit into form, it's the rejoicing of the body, of who we are.
That's right. That's right. And this body, I have a really, really, really strong sense, because I know for myself, in the last 3 years, I haven't gotten sick. I haven't had a flu. I haven't had a cold. I haven't even had a headache in 3 years. I mean, go figure, right? Nothing.
Well, you change your DNA, so you can change it to whatever you want, I guess.
It's fantastic. Although sometimes I do slip and I eat certain things that I really shouldn't, and pizza, I just think, is a creation of the gods.
Oh, I can't eat pizza, but anyway. I mean, it tastes great, but I don't know. I mean, I do have to watch what I'm eating in order to feel more grounded, or else I feel like, you know, there's things that my body just doesn't like, and I've been able to know what that is. So the better I eat, the higher quality food, the better I feel.
No, absolutely. You know what? Again, absolutely. I'm the same way. However, what I have noticed though is I can get away, because of whatever is going on inside of me now, I can get away without having so much. But that's still not an excuse. What I'm sensing, and what others around me that are holding the same vibration. That's why, you know, getting to be with others that are really aware of what's happening and are brave and courageous to move through and break through any of these pre-existing paradigms. I think that, you know, our human bodies, we have the capacity. So, you know, sometimes I feel like in the spiritual community, we're you know, waiting for the next solar flare in order to get our upgrades. It's like, we can communicate with each other. We can communicate with like-minded people. We can drop what we think that we know, and we can actually learn even more. So that's what I, you know, talk about the newborn horse, the wobbly legs. I found myself in the last couple of months in brand new situations where, you know, I wasn't the most knowledgeable. I wasn't the most, you know, gifted person in the room, or I wasn't. And you know what? I'm okay with that, because I'm learning and I'm realizing that the more that we strip away these pre-existing ideas that we have about what the body can do and what the mind and the emotions can do, whoosh, you know, the more superluminous that we actually can be. You know, I think about now those golden luminous beings, and, you know, wow, that ability to be so strong and traverse anywhere in the universe. I mean, that's pretty cool. And to me, that's something that we can strive for. So let's go beyond disease and let's go beyond being centered and balanced. Let's go to the superluminous. I think that we have the capacity to actually create that with what we have here as connected to our interdimensional brothers and sisters.
Absolutely. I think that's really the next level, the ascension level, the superluminous. And I do think when we're in a state of consciousness, we can eat anything. And actually, we don't even need to eat, as some people have proven. And when you're really aligned and pulling through the light throughout all your cellular structures, you're feeding off the light of existence. So, I mean, we're evolving to that. And I'm sure there are beings that do that. But as we should start to wrap up because, I mean, it's been really fun. Thank you. But I want, can you pull together then the ideas of, you know, all this ET contact and the work that you've done with the emotional intelligence and how that kind of comes together for this next phase?
Yeah, you know, I've been thinking about that for a while, and you know, my jury is a little bit still out on it. The sense that I get is that, you know, we will still be feeling these different emotions. They're going to be much subtler, though. You know, they're not going to be as like, especially the negative ones. They won't be as strong. They're going to be much subtler, and we'll be able to feel things more at a distance without having so much of that. You know, intense physical contact. That's just a sense that I get. My jury is a little bit still out on that. It's almost like I'd have to really sit and feel into it and remote view into the different species and really look at the totality of the human experience while being here in order to give probably a much more complete answer. But in you know, a real quick analysis of it and, you know, shooting from the hip a little bit, it does seem like we're being asked to go to a more subtler level of feeling these different emotions and not so hard and not so physical.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're onto something there. I think part of that is feeling new emotions, feeling sensations. And I think we're evolving into a culture where we might not even have words for these new subtle feelings. And that's part of where we're evolving to as a civilization, as a culture. And so I think it is the increased awareness of feeling, sensation, and the subtleties of what it is to become a new species. We've completed the old, gross emotions. I mean, we felt as angry and as sad and as, you know, whatever we can feel in those really denser planes, and they've served us. But now is the time where the subtleties of feeling are unfolding. This is why I like Richard Bartlett's work, Matrix Energetics, because he's teaching people to feel the subtleties that there are no words for. He says, put your hand out, you feel that, and put it over here, you feel that. Well, there's a difference between that. And part of that has to do with then activating the mind or the brain or the, it's not quite the imagination, but the ability to feel into those senses. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. And with some of the most profound contact experiences that I've had, that's what it's all about. It's not so much about the information that's transferred. It's really about the totality of the sensation, of the wisdom, of the eternalness of it. And none of the contact experiences that I've had has there been fear, shame, guilt, anger. I mean, nothing. It's been expansion. It really has been love. It's been warmth, humor as well. You know, there's been humor that's been exchanged, patience, you know, so really all the positive emotions, but they're on a more subtle level. They're not on this, woo, you know, it's not exactly like that. Although flying through space generates that type of feeling. Really?
No, that's,
wow,
no,
this is cool.
Well, that's great. No, I think I think the station is saying we should wrap up, but I think that's a really good place to invite people into our conversation on Thursday to to leave them there and to just kind of tell there's so much more that we're coming into that's available, that in a way, like you said, it is the first time in a sense. So any final words you would like to leave us with at this moment?
Oh, just that, I think for people that might be listening to this is just to be real. And it's almost like, go ahead and clean out those things that are no longer working for you. Face them. They might not be pretty, but go ahead and face them, because that's how we move through things so much more quickly. And once we get beyond that, I mean, what really lies ahead within our human potential is magnificent. And I can't wait for others to join me and for me to join others along this journey. I've waited so long for this and I'm so excited. And thank you so much for having what felt like a wonderful conversation. So thank you, Ellen, for all the work that you've done.
Oh, thank you, Susan. I have to say, you feel the most integrated contactee, because you're really have worked on the emotional level, and you're not afraid to share the contact experience, and you've sort of woven them into your own human design, and that's what we all need to do, is to bring these unusual experiences into everyday world and to share them in a really open way and not be weird about it, but to be very regular human beings.
Yeah, exactly. And I think how I incarnated it, and because of how I was born, I don't know any different. You know, it's almost like I don't know any different. So to me, these were both of my worlds to begin with. So, they were there from the beginning. And I think that in retrospect, that was one of the things that was fortunate.
Mm. So thank you. Thank you for the integration. I think that example helps other people who may not be so in touch integrate who they are as well. I mean, it's helping me as I kind of feel and digest the experiences. It's like, yes, I feel more of an integration.
Mm. Well, excellent. Well, I think you're pretty integrated in all the things that you've brought already to me, and some of the interviews that I've seen that you've done have been really wonderful and helpful. So keep going.
Well, there's no place else to go, but thank you. Well, tell people how to reach you, or your website, or
I have a blog. It's which I need to update. I haven't updated in about a month or so, but it's and there's a lot of information on that blog. I've written my heart out over the last 3 years, and it's www.ietevolve.com.
Okay, great.
There's also an EI Skills website. You won't see a lot of the funky stuff on there about the ET contact, but that's my professional work, and that's eiskills.com.
EI Skills stands for emotional intelligence. Well, thank you, Susan. If you want to hear more of Susan, come this Thursday night, July 26th, to the Meta Center in New York City, 214 West 29th Street. There'll be a bunch of other people talking about this level of integration, because I'm calling it ET Contact and the Evolution of Consciousness, this panel, this New Realities panel. So please show up, and if you have any other questions, you can email me at newrealities@earthlink.net and check my website for any other updates and this interview to be posted at newrealities.com. Thank you for listening tonight.